listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So thankful for each and every one of you who are listening to us. And now I want to give a special hello and thank you to our law enforcement personnel, those police officers who are listening to us. Thank you so much. And Officer Sean, if you're listening, if you happen to be listening tonight, just wanted to let you know that we're praying for you, and we have been praying for you, and you know, we're behind you 100% and praying for your safety and everything you do. But all law enforcement officers, if you're listening to this in your police cruiser, and I know some are, I just want to say thank you for what you do. Thanks for your bravery. You know, it's been almost 30 years since I lost a good friend. Was shot on the job. It's heartbreaking, you know. In fact, this gentleman left a young wife and family. 1991. I guess it's not quite 30 years, but 1991, he was shot in Houston. 3 times. Lived for a little bit. Passed away. He was wearing a vest, but didn't help. So, to all of our men and women in uniform, law enforcement on the streets of America, I just want to say we respect what you do, and we thank you for what you do. But thank you for listening to this broadcast. You could be doing a lot of things, but listening to a lot of different broadcasts. We have a lot of information to break down this hour. Much information. Joe's been working. We've been following all sorts of leads, whether it is from the so-called hacking situation, which is not the wiretapping, which is anything but. We've got a lot of valuable information to pass along this hour, and we're going to parse it out, or we are going to go through this as completely as we can. Now, as we do this, let me ask you, does this cause you restless nights sometimes? Does the news itself cause you restless nights at times? You know, my wife and I, we have, and the guests who come to our home, I will tell you, they and we sleep like babies. I mean, warm, comfortable, swaddled babies. Folks, let me tell you about the mattress that we use, my wife and I. Let me tell you about the mattress that's in our guest rooms, plural. Casper.com/CFP radio. That's Casper.com/CFP radio. If you go to HagmanReport.com, you can click on the link. But Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress that is sold directly to the consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. And folks, its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It's got a beautiful, sleek design, and it's delivered in a small, hey, how did they do that? Box. It's just an amazing, the entire experience from purchasing to delivery to setup of your mattress is just it's just fun. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers adaptive pillow and soft breathable sheets. These are the best sheets we have ever used. You know, in Casper.com/CFB radio. They have an in-house team of engineers. They've spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines supportive memory foam. Oh, it just hugs you for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, it breathes. You know, none of these other mattresses do this in my view. But this breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. And it is so convenient to buy. Listeners, viewers, let me tell you, buying a Casper mattress, it's completely risk-free. They offer free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. They understand the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit. Especially, consider you're going to be spending a third of your life on it. especially if it's a, in fact, I'd love to sleep more on it because it's that comfortable. Folks, Casper, the Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews, you can look this up, and an average of 4.8 stars, it is rapidly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And that's based on Casper, Amazon, Google reviews, and our reviews is 5-star. Lady, 4 paws up, meaning 5 stars. Again, free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. Folks, try Casper for 100 nights, risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up again and refund you everything. And let me tell you, as a special to listeners to the Hagman and Hagman Report, just for you, get $50 toward the purchase of any mattress by visiting casper.com/CFP Radio and using CFP Radio as our coupon code. Now, terms and conditions apply, so you'll have to see the website. But do go to casper.com/CFP Radio and use our coupon code CFP Radio. One more time, that's casper.com/CFP Radio and use our coupon code CFP Radio. You're going to love that. Oh, just try it. And I've gotten so many emails from people who have said, you know, that's the best mattress ever. But anyway, and Joe and Eric, you got a Casper? Joe's got a Casper? Ladies, I got a Casper? So, come on in. All right. Now, a couple of things, Joe. Let me ask you about the, we were talking about earlier about this wiretapping situation. You had found some things yesterday. You had sent me on this hunt. I'm digging down. I'm seeing things. And let me say this to everyone out there. If you don't think, okay, I had a situation back in 2013 where I got a ring back on my telephone. I was speaking with a Fox News reporter. That conversation ended with a call waiting. Okay, in other words, I was on the phone, I was wrapping that conversation up. Another call came in. I answered that phone call, spoke with that person, hung up the phone. This is my office landline phone now. And when I hung up the phone, there was a ring back. You know, I thought it was a ring back. Folks, you know about this, right? You've had them happen before, especially, I mean, the older landlines. Well, I looked down at the caller ID at the phone system we had at the other office, and it said something to the effect of NSA Utah or NSA UTDTA COL Center. What it appeared to me is Utah Database Collection Center. Thinking of the NSA. And it wasn't a ring back. What I thought was a ring back, but it was a ring where the phone actually rang. So, what do? I picked up the phone. Hello? And I could hear a mechanical voice. It wasn't robotic. It was more of a recording as opposed to mechanical, I suppose. Saying something to the effect of, data capture successful. I'm paraphrasing, okay? I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. And that was it. So what do you do? I hung up the phone. I mean, I heard a click and that was it. And I hung up the phone. And you know, on most phone systems, well, I think on all systems, you're able to capture, you're able to retain the caller ID, right? Is my terminology correct? You're able to see on the caller ID?
You should be able to.
Right. So I figured, okay, I looked, but what showed up on the caller ID was gone. So I thought, all right, because ordinarily then you could take I could take a picture of that. And I've taken photographs very, very recently of caller ID, but there was nothing there. So you know how most phones have the redial button? You press the redial button. Well, that got the last person I called, obviously. Silly me. Anyway, to make a long story short, what would you think? Well, let me ask you folks, what would you think about that? What would that appear to you to be? To me, that was a mistake. To me, that now, understand, I was talking with a Fox News reporter initially, and we were talking about Benghazi. Now, it had nothing to do with the second caller, other than the fact that this happened after the second call. So, let me ask you, what would you think? Was this a mistake? A warning? I don't know. Okay. But that's the kind of the bottom line. And I might have gotten some details, not 100% accurate. It's not intentional. But the reason I bring this up is this all came back to me when Joe had said, did you see this? And he showed me this PDF letter of Larry Klayman. And what Larry Klayman had found over the last, couple of years in terms of NSA surveillance, or what that letter represented, information in that letter represented, that was about a whistleblower that spoke about the NSA collection of everybody's phone calls, of everyone's text messages, of everyone's computer stuff. And I've heard people say, well, that's bunk. It's impossible. There's no way that they could possibly collect all of this information. It's just the metadata stuff. Well, come to find out, no, that's not true. There's a computer called the Hammer. Have you heard about this? The Hammer? It's capable of processing, 900 billion, whatever they do. I mean, it's a beast of a computer. But it's able to capture all the data. Not just the digital metadata, but the voice, the content. Now, why is this important? This speaks directly to not just our loss of privacy. We know there is no more privacy. This speaks not just to the fact that everything that we do is being recorded. It certainly validates the there is no more privacy, per James Comey. But more relevantly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but this certainly implicates some people at some very high levels, not just, in particular, within the Obama regime. This began under Bush, this particular program. However, it's interesting because under Obama, you had Clapper, Brennan toward the end, as individuals, key individuals, who were executing on an intelligence level or from an intelligence perspective basis, this massive collection of data. What we're seeing today is validation by whistleblowers, plural, and through investigative acts, whether it's Larry Klayman or others coming out and saying, yes, this is all true. And Joe, please jump in here and anytime, because did I explain this correctly? I mean, kind of.
Yeah, and you certainly know a lot about this, just probably as much as I do, from the research that you've been doing, as I haven't went through the PDF that we both read separately and dug further into it. today, but tomorrow I plan on doing this. But there's a few things that I think we need to point out here. One, we have two Trump-related major stories going on in the news. One is right. the surveillance wiretapping claims of Trump.
That's correct.
By Obama or his administration or officials. And then part of that is also with some of these leaks and some of what the Intelligence Committee and Nunez talked about yesterday, there's a crime that's been committed here by the unmasking or the revealing of names from those intelligence gathering programs.
Yes, and if you did not listen yet to Greg Hunter's appearance from yesterday, Joe, he discusses the unmasking. And my question about that, and I rewatched those the Senate intelligence hearings. Number one, from here's my takeaway from those hearings, our interview with Greg Hunter, our own research in house. Number one, DNI Clapper lied under oath. Number two.
Or just lied.
No, lied under oath and lied, but lied under oath.
Let me ask you this. Is it a lie that if Clapper's asked what was Trump targeted in surveillance or was Trump surveilled, or just take Trump's name out of it, any American citizen surveilled, and he says no, knowing that this program that they have captures all
right
of electronic communications, meaning he might not know the names unless they are unmasked, but he knows that all electronic communications from phone calls, emails, texts, even, you know, your webcam, maybe yes. smiling, all that's collected and cataloged without the names being revealed. Would he be lying if he said no if he didn't know the names, even though he knows
yes.
everybody's on his
yes.
surveillance?
Okay. Yes, because the way, and this is the important thing, the game, the word games that are being played. This is, to me, shameful. But yes, I truly believe speaking to the spirit and to the letter of the law, that DNI Clapper lied to Congress under oath. That's number one. Number two, I do believe that DNI Clapper, in tandem with John Brennan, and this goes back to when he was with the Analysis Corporation and the National Security Advisor to Obama, as Obama was running back in 2007 for the presidency, I believe that John Brennan was also involved in the collection at this time under this program, the very program that's in operation today of collecting the information, of collecting this, of surveillance privately via the Analysis Corporation, his private concern, and then for the government as the director of the CIA. So you've got to, and you're correct, you've got a couple of things taking place here. You've got multiple very critically important, I mean, this for all the marbles, incredibly important things taking place.
Yeah, the second thing is the claims that have been ongoing for 8 months now that Trump colluded with Russia. And I think yesterday, after Nunez came out and the head of the House Intelligence Committee came out and said, yes, there looks to be that Trump was in his transition team were inadvertently part of intelligence gathering monitoring that was collected, and that they may not have been targeting them, but through their correspondence with other people, they were caught up incidentally in the communications. And as soon as that came out yesterday, you had Schiff, the Congressman Schiff, Democrat.
He blew a gasket.
Yes, and then you have people like Pelosi come out and say, oh, you know, he's protecting Trump, or he's a surrogate for Trump, or, you know, all impartiality's gone now because he got this information and didn't share it with the rest of the committee. That information was shared with the whole committee, from what I understand. At the same time, from what I understand.
Okay.
I have to verify that.
However...
But it doesn't matter. As soon as that Nunez came out and said, yes, there was intelligence collected on Trump and his transition team.
Yes.
They came right back out. And this is a headline from CNN from yesterday. I got to restart this computer.
Well, but, it's about Russia.
Possibly U.S. officials, info suggests Trump associates may have possibly coordinated with Russia.
Right.
I added the possibly. And there's one unnamed source. There's no evidence. There's never been any evidence. The only evidence that they produced was a fake dossier on Trump.
And please understand, so, you're right.
Are they trying to legitimize
this
intelligence collecting through saying, well, he was being investigated for Russian ties, so it was legitimate?
No,
I'm saying, are they trying to cover up or justify or excuse their surveillance on the Trump?
No, I don't believe so. I know what you're asking.
Would they be able to get away with that?
No, they would not be able to get away with it. Not legally. They may be able to get away with it to the media, but not to the public.
Well, that's the same difference.
Not really. No, and I'll tell you, okay, here's what I believe is taking place. And again, this represents hours of research. And this is why I have not come out with anything, new with respect to a couple of ongoing investigations. It's because we've been neck deep in this. Here's what I think is taking place. I think that the allegations of Russian interference on the elections And the allegations of President Trump being involved or any member of his team in Russia or with Russia is their plan not to justify the surveillance, but to take the eyes off of the surveillance and the unmasking, which is totally different because to justify it, you'd have to admit it exists. They are saying, no, it didn't exist. And therefore, they're not justifying that way. So what they're saying is this is, they're pointing us in the direction. It's kind of like the way they handled Benghazi. It's kind of like the way they handled, all of the Fast and Furious. But think about Benghazi. Benghazi, they pointed to this non-existent obscure video as the, motive behind the attack. Okay. When in fact it had nothing to do with anything. That's the same game that they're playing here, the same tools that they're using. So, no, it has nothing. Russia and Donald Trump and members of his team there was no connection. This is all to take the eyes away from the real crime. The real crime is the massive surveillance operation on not just us, which is bad, but specifically on the opposing candidate in an election. This is where the real crime is, and it is my belief based on my investigation, and I think Joe will share in my findings here tomorrow or over the weekend. I truly believe that it was Obama, if not directly ordered, he was aware of the order, which perhaps came from Valerie Jarrett, I'm thinking that, and executed through Brennan, in particular Brennan. I believe that was Obama's go-to guy. The secondary, the co-conspirator or accomplice, in my view, was Clapper. And I think what we're going to see, because of the acrimonious relationship between Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, I think that there is a third party go-between that kind of, they were playing both the Obama and Clinton camps, and I believe that was the Lynch Department of Justice, which, if you think back to the tarmac meeting, it could very well come into play. So if you're following me on this, the massive surveillance operation on all Americans.
And like, we can
go ahead.
The next segment, if possible, if not the video, maybe possibly the audio, something Maxine Waters said back in 2012.
Yes.
And if we can't get that working, I will just transcribe it. All right, well, at least have the audio.
Yeah,
because this is something from 2012 it wasn't really relevant. I guess people weren't apparently paying attention. Maybe they just thought she was spewing off at the mouth like usual and having no idea what she's talking about.
I was going to say, you might just want to read the transcript only because of whatever issues we might have. But
that's fair use.
Okay.
It was on an interview on TV.
But what you... Okay. But what you, that particular, news clip from Maxine Waters, folks, if you have not heard this, if you're saying, what news clip? Well, hang on to your shorts, because let me tell you something. What Maxine Waters said in 2013, was 2013, right? 2012. Okay, 2012. What she said in 2012 will just blow your socks off, because what she said, we're seeing happen today. I mean,
And Fox News, I don't know if you saw this. Yeah. Dad, not to interrupt, I know we're
no, that's fine. Break.
Fox News came out with an article, for James Rosen wrote this article, and this doesn't prove anything, there's nothing yet, but it says potential smoking gun showing Obama administration spied on Trump team, sources say.
Mm.
And I'm hesitant anymore to rely on anybody else's sources. Well, I don't care where it comes from. But the Republican congressional investigators expect a potential smoking gun establishing that the Obama administration spied on Trump's transition team and possibly the president-elect himself will be produced to the House Intelligence Committee this week or tomorrow.
And
Friday.
I believe this to be the case. We're talking about treasonous activity.
But one source told Fox News this, so... Again, with the sources, I just, at this point, I don't want to hear any more of the speculation. I just want to see whatever evidence there is to be presented.
Amen, but I do believe we will.
I hope we will, too. Even, I mean, at this point, I don't care. The truth just needs to come out, whatever that is.
That's right.
Because it's just getting so crazy anymore. It's hard to even keep track. We'll be right back with our final segment after these messages. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changeclosenwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
welcome back, folks, to the final segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So much news. You know, the mainstream corporate captured corporate media, the Illuminati mass mind-controlled corporate media, is not going to be telling you about this. They're not going to be telling you about Larry Klayman's letter to Nunes about the, hey, about Montgomery. Does any of this ring a bell to you? We're going to be laying this out in an investigative report, but many other websites have at least touched on it. But the fact of the matter is, attorney Larry Klayman, the founder of Freedom Watch, and by the way, I cannot believe how many conservatives have taken him to task, saying, it's a conspiracy nut. It really boggles the mind. But what Larry Klayman did was, he represented a gentleman by the name of Montgomery, last name Montgomery, before federal judge Royce Lamberth. Klayman, who characterizes client Montgomery as a whistleblower, okay, I'm looking over here at my screen, told Fox News that Montgomery turned over $600 million plus pages of information to the FBI. But the bottom line is there was a CIA or a contractor for the CIA who materialized and sought whistleblower status 18 different times, but was denied whistleblower status, saying, look, I've got 47 hard drives. I've got 900 million pages of information that proves everyone in America is under surveillance. Essentially, I've got the proof that, remember the story I related to you about the NSA? About me? Okay, which was, it could have been a fluke. It could have been, who knows what that was. But to say, oh my gosh, you're out of your mind. You're just full of beans. That didn't happen to you. Well, you know what? Look, I can't prove it. I don't have photographs. Okay. But I did provide a sworn statement, a sworn affidavit to the exactly, basically telling you what I, or on my affidavit, what I told you. So my question is it that far of a stretch to think that everybody in America, including and especially people like Donald Trump, including Donald Trump and his family, or even virtually nobody's like us, are under surveillance? Of course it's not a stretch. It's happening. And the loss of civil liberties. Remember the Church Committee in 1974, I believe it was, or 75, saying, you cross that abyss, there's no turning back. The abyss of where everyone loses their privacy, where everyone is under surveillance. He saw it coming, and he warned us about it. And the players in the CIA, the intelligence community, have taken us across that abyss. And Larry Klayman, Freedom Watch, Judicial Watch, stood up and said, hey, I've got the proof to Devin Nunes. I've got the proof. Here it is. In fact, this, by the way, the Montgomery information and the ancillary parts to that, that's a year old plus. And, oh, yes, by the way, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Mike Zullo were specifically targeted, but so were all the residents of their county, Maricopa County. But the bottom line, it's out of control. Everything you do, say, is being recorded and stored. And this is intolerable. In a free society. It's no longer a free society. The Church Committee. He was right. They were right. They were correct. Now, you want to hear a bit of, shall we say, creepy, spooky, predictive? This is what's going on.
Go I don't ahead. Know if it was so much predictive, but this is an obscure audio of Maxine Waters from an interview from 2012 or early 2013. During the beginning of Obama's second term. Go ahead and play it there.
made clear to our viewers and listeners is that, look, this is the inauguration represented the beginning of his second term.
Yes.
But it also represented the countdown of the end of his presidency.
That's right.
And the reality is, like anything else, you better get what you can while he's there because, look, come 2016, that's it.
Well, you know, I don't know. And I think some people are missing something here. The president has put in place an organization that contains the kind of database that no one has ever seen before in life. That's going to be very, very powerful. And whoever...
In terms of the Organizing for America that he's now shifting to become a 501c4.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that database will have information about everything on every individual in ways that it's never been done before. And whoever runs for president on the Democratic ticket have to deal with that. They're going to have to go down with that database and the concerns of those people because they can't get around it. And he's been very smart. I mean, it's very powerful what he's leaving in place. And I think that's what any Democratic candidate is going to have to deal with.
So, okay. A secret database. Obama has put in place a secret database with everything on everyone.
Can we look? This is so important. Can we play that one more time? And you could. Oh, you just close it. That's all right. No, then you know what, folks? Go back and listen to that again, because to me, you're right. It's not predictive. It's informational. It's saying, okay, this is what. Oh, and isn't it interesting that she credited, and I don't believe this is accidental, but she credited Obama, not the intelligence agencies, but she credited Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apply that to what we're seeing today. 5 years later, we'll say. Apply that to what we're seeing today.
With the hammer that collects every bit
That's
of
right.
intelligence from every American who uses any type of electronic communication device.
And the hammer is the name of this supercomputer that is under the control of the intelligence community, the NSA. You can find information if you just simply search the hammer plus or and NSA. You'll find various reports on this. So, now, getting back to the relevance today, the globalists do not want to see Donald Trump to finish his term. They want to delegitimize, and as we said, even months before his election, they want to cast doubt on the legitimacy of his presidency, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're using the information, or they're using the allegation that he's a Russian operative in the White House. And isn't it a matter of projection as opposed to accuracy? Because who really, out of both candidates, meaning Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak, Clinton, or President Donald Trump, who really was the coziest to the Russians? If you look at the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation, you see her influence as Secretary of State. But you also see something really, really interesting, and that's William Jefferson Clinton getting paid a lot, and I mean a lot of money for speeches, air quotes now, speeches on behalf of the Clinton Foundation. Why? Was it because he was such a great speaker? No. That money purchased influence, government influence. Even though he was out, and Greg Hunter said something out of the government, Greg Hunter said something very interesting yesterday, and I don't know how many people caught this, that it is Obama and Clinton who are considered the heads of the Democratic Party today. Now, when you think about that, despite the fact that you've got Perez in there as head of the DNC, okay, we understand that. Now, it doesn't matter because we're talking about globalists in general. Well, it does to the extent that you still have partisan battles taking place. Even, it's not just for theater, it's beyond that as well. So, bottom line here, you've got this group of never Trumpers that include Republicans, that include conservatives and independents, and most assuredly progressives, once known as Democrats, or socialists, once known as progressive Democrats. So you've got this team determined to take out President Donald Trump. They are contaminating. If the United States, or if the world, think about it this way, a high-profile case. You've all seen them in your hometown. If you watch the news, the local news, you've all seen the high-profile murder case in your hometown, haven't you? What does counsel do that's so significant in a high-profile case and so critical, and people don't realize what they're doing? They're contaminating the jury pool. They are actually acting as agents, or, well, they're advocates. And it depends on which side they're on. But they are planting the narrative in the minds of the consumers of the news, or the people who listen to this. This is why the Rachel Maddows and the Lawrence O'Donnells and the other media personalities are so dangerous. Because what are they doing? They are planting the seeds of doubt about the legitimacy of President Donald Trump and all of his people around him, to the American people and to the world, when in fact that doubt of legitimacy should be bestowed upon Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Obama for his eligibility and for his bona fides leading up to and including his stint as a junior senator, and then ostensibly the president, Hillary Clinton, as her time as the first lady or co-president, secretary or senator of New York, secretary of state, and then presidential candidate. But if you think about what happened with the Clinton Foundation, the money flowing into Bill Clinton through the speeches, the money flowing into the foundation to, and especially in, from Russia, okay, into the foundation, never investigated by Comey, not one time. Oh, well, yeah, there's an investigation, you know, again, in air quotes. We're looking into it. Have you ever seen police departments or government agencies slow walk investigations? This is what we're seeing. This is so critical. This is the biggest, folks, I will say this. This is the most important story of our lifetime. The reason this is the deep state coup against the American people. This is for all of the marbles. I cannot overstate how important this is. And then you've got these smaller little things going on. You had the Awan brothers in the House of Representatives operating the IT division, working for, some say 31, others 50 House members. The three Pakistani Awan brothers, a fourth in the wings, and two wives. You've got a, so you got a total of five Pakistanis in the House of Representatives, working for upwards of four dozen House members, three key committees: the Senate House Intelligence, or the House Intelligence Committee, the Department of the Homeland Security Committee, in the Foreign Affairs Committee. Three key committees, including, oh, and by the way, Jackie Speier, the House member who was commenting on the Russian influence, she was the one that was banging the drum to secure top secret compartmentalized access for the Awan brothers when, right before, 6 months before, they were walked out, escorted out of the U.S. Capitol due to an alleged procurement scam. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, read the report on that. And if you'd like to comment on it, go to CanadaFreePress.com. And there's more coming on that. But that was one under the umbrella, under the larger umbrella of what we're talking about. But I, look, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I've made sense, if you can see, grasp the enormity of this, and if I have not done a good job of, because I'm not working from any notes, I'm just working from, just from what we've investigated. I hope you can see the enormity of what's taking place here. The treason, the sedition, the people, oh, the unmasking as well, as Joe mentioned. Okay, so you've got the criminal act of unmasking. If you go back and watch that 5 hour marathon, well, 5 hour, I shouldn't say marathon, the 5 hour, testimony of Comey and Rogers, and Trey Gowdy asking who is responsible for unmasking. And of course, you can see the suspect pool narrowing as the questioning continues. Now, my questions would have been a little bit different. I think this is like five times I watched this already. But when you, every time you watch it, you can see little things, certain things, a few more things. I guess what I'm saying to you is, there's something coming. There, in the next 10 days, I guarantee you, there will be a revelation, in my view, a revelation so powerful and so undeniable that will indict. I'm not talking about legally indict, I'm talking about implicate or otherwise point to the Lynch Department of Justice. Individuals such as Brennan, Clapper, Ben Rhodes, this is in my personal opinion, not professional opinion, based on my investigation, okay? I'm not saying these people are guilty of anything. I'm saying my investigation is telling me to look at these people. Ben Rhodes, White House Communications Director, Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, James Clapper, John Brennan, Valerie Jarrett, Donna Brazile, who is also working for CNN, Obama, to a lesser extent, but you have to know, Obama, one thing he isn't is stupid. One thing he is not is stupid. But those individuals working in tandem with the DNC and the Hillary, obvious, Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, and individuals within the embedded press. And this is important. As a candidate, she had press people that traveled with her. There are at least three individuals in that press, embedded press group, who I would be taking a very close look at with respect to the leaks and unmasking. I should have said that in the context of of Comey, Clapper, or and Comey, by the way. But and one more, Andrew McCabe. Sorry, I wanted to make sure I got all those names in. So you had McCabe and Clapper and Comey at the end is what I added.
A few questions as to what you think could happen here. One, will they fabricate any evidence to try to make Trump look like he colluded with Russians? We know they already have. We know that they have already placed, you know, malicious malware on Trump computers that were made to look or to mimic that Russian banks were talking with Russian entities were talking to Trump Tower. And those have actually come out and been shown to be malicious malware.
Okay, let me stop you there. I don't think they'll fabricate it. I think they will misrepresent it. There's a big difference. They will take... Okay, it's... again, let me repeat that. I don't believe that they will fabricate evidence, but I believe that they will misrepresent the evidence. They'll take it out of the context in which it was... And you made a good point right there. The server that showed the communication with two banks and the health service, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're referring to, right?
And with the first Vault 7 release, it actually came out that these hackers or intelligence agencies are able to misrepresent where an attack, a hacking attack came from, or misrepresent just about anything on the computers.
Misdirected attribution.
And the SoundCloud files that you were listening to earlier today about the hammer, they go on and talk about, well, how would you set somebody up to get in trouble? And the guy says, I would plant child pornography on his computer and then report on to the FBI, and they would come and find that.
And if you read the, Cheryl Atkinson, who used to work for CBS, her book Stonewalled, she explains how her computer, she was using, I believe, one Apple, one PC, but nonetheless, Cheryl Atkinson had written about how not only did the government, now this is my words, hack into her computer, but they deposited three files on a very obscure section of her hard disk that were classified. And this is what now you want to talk about fabricating evidence. This is more setting someone up, but I do believe that this does take place. So when, for example, if someone wants to destroy, if someone, let's say I'm a big muckety muck in the CIA, and I want to, and I know all about computers, and I want to destroy Doug and Joe Hagman. Well, what are we going to do? We're not going to just hack into their system and suck up all their information. We're going to leave a couple of really, we're going to leave a couple of files on their hard drive. They won't find them. Okay. Because it's, you know, it's going to be, they're going to be hidden within, some of the operating system files, but we're going to hide those files. So in the event that the FBI or some government agency takes their computers, they'll say, hey, look at this. You've got three or four classified files on your computer. This is what they did to Cheryl Atkinson. And this is, or child pornography, or
whatever.
Crime,
yeah.
Right. But you see, one one more thing too, and this is important. If you remember the description that Comey gave about the hacking of the DNC computer system.
And I thought they weren't even even the FBI was not allowed to look at the DNC's computer system, nor are they
7 months, according to Comey. Comey testified that he notified the DNC. He said, "Hey, you got a problem here. There's evidence of hacking into the DNC computers." And it could have been attributed to Russia based on the loud, noisy, cumbersome rattling, you know, of, it was obvious that they wanted, whoever it was wanted to leave the idea that Russia was hacking the DNC. Okay. So Comey said, I called the DNC, I notified them. And Gowdy asked, I think it was Gowdy, he said, well, what happened? And he said, well, you know,
they wouldn't cooperate.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't. They didn't give up their computers. However, their IT people took a look at it, and if you listen to what Comey said, he said their IT people provided our agents with a suitable suitable evidence.
Okay.
Instead of the computers themselves and allowing the FBI to have access to, the DNC provided a suitable alternative to the evidence. Oh, really? Since when is that good enough in the FBI? That's so important. But then Gowdy asked Comey, would you have done anything different? Comey said, yeah, I would have, like, pounded on the door myself and said, you know, early on, had I known what I know now. Meaning, all this to say, dog and pony show here. Okay, we're all getting hosed, and this, it's so transparent. And to think people like me, well, yeah, I mean, it should be any investigator, or, and you don't even have to be an investigator, any person of reasonable intelligence can see, man, we're being played. The FBI's getting played, perhaps willingly, or at least that's the way they make it seem. You know, are they incompetent? I don't believe for a minute they're incompetent. But if they could pass it off as saying, boy, we should have done things a little differently.
So the FBI has become a political tool of partisanship more so than an investigative body.
The FBI right now, and I'll tell you this, the FBI is holding a lot of cards. I don't want to get too much into it because I think, I think Roger Stone, tomorrow, I do, because he was the subject of the House Intelligence Committee, I do hope does have the time to, he's scheduled for tomorrow night.
For an hour, yep.
Yeah, so, I hopefully we'll get into this with him tomorrow night. But folks, this is the most important story domestically, politically. It is not, Russia did not hack into the computers. It is not about Russia.
What computers would they have hacked into? I mean, what could they have hacked
exactly
into? They already showed there's no hacking. Now they're just talking about collusion.
Right, and there's no collusion. That's just a total, red herring.
With hacking. Now it's just collusion.
But I don't believe for one moment that Russia hacked the DNC computers. It made it, the misdirected attribution made it seem that way, but I don't believe that to be the case.
If I remember correctly, wasn't it leaked? Wasn't that information leaked by one of the Democratic staff members?
Exactly. Not a hack, but a leak. And this is where George Webb, who was on our program before, has done a great job. Go check out the George Webb series on YouTube. Where is Eric Braverman? That's a whole bunch of videos. Just a fantastic investigative series. He gets into this.
Well, that'll do it for us tonight. We've reached the end of our time. Tomorrow night, we will be joined by Roger Stone in hour number 2. And I still have an incomplete schedule in front of me from earlier this month. Kevin Shipp also, he'll be on tomorrow. And I'm not sure if we have a third guest or not, but even just with Roger Stone and with Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer, it's going to be an action-packed show.
That's right.
So until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, have a great evening. We'll see you.